The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, with many Leaving Certificate students from the class of 2022 finally feeling that sense of relief last Friday morning, now that they have their results, there is a cohort who may be feeling a little deflated and anxious, because with inflation of grades and with the challenge to get enough points, they may be looking at what they have and wondering, will it get them the course they hoped for? Well, for one of our next guests, this was a feeling that can definitely be related to. Martina Larkin always dreamt of being a social worker. However, having not got the points for social work, Martina was left to choose a different path, which she's now hugely grateful for. Morning, Martina.
Good morning, Anton. Thank you for having me in.
The original plan was social work. What happened and where did you go?
So, yeah, the original plan was social work. And what I did was I didn't get my top course on my CEO, which was straight social work. But I was delighted.
Did you feel at the time the world had ended?
Do you know what? A little bit, but also I kind of knew it was a little bit of a pipe dream. So I wasn't devastated, but I was very nervous because I didn't know what was next. But I was very delighted because I got offered a degree in social science in UCD, and accepting that course was one of the best things I ever did. So I think prior to that and doing that course, I really didn't have confidence in myself as a student. I was quite a mediocre student. Whereas when I got into my degree in social science, I absolutely loved it.
This raises a question, because your title is Head of Legal and Compliance at Cheshire Ireland, which doesn't look like social science to me.
I suppose it's the best of both worlds, and I'll get there. Because when I went into social science, as I said, the first day my plan was to go to social work. But that was a 3-year course. And over that, I fell in love with some of the subjects. One in particular was social policy. And I really seen how law could challenge social injustice, could promote human rights, could promote equality. And that hooked me. So by the end of my social science degree, my plan to go on to a social work master's was gone. And being a solicitor was the next goal.
How challenging a goal did it seem to be? Because my understanding is there's a lot of years in getting into law if you don't do it as an undergraduate.
It wasn't actually. So there was there's exams, 8 exams you have to pass, called these FE1s, and they were definitely challenging. However, the background I had, I'd grown in my confidence in my ability to study and to learn. The exams, I got through those. And then the next step, I just took it in bite-sized chunks. So the next step was getting an apprenticeship, or a traineeship as it's now called. And again, that was quite a challenge for me, because I hadn't come from a law family. In fact, I was the first in my immediate family to go to college. So I was really fortunate to come across a lovely guy who ran his firm in Talla, O'Brien Renane Solicitors. And he had a similar background to me. Our parents did the same thing. They were shopkeepers all their lives. So that, he gave me my start. And through working with him and my training through the Law Society, 5 years later, I was practicing, and I'd been practicing for nearly 2 years. And I loved it.
Practicing in a solicitor's firm?
In a solicitor's firm, yeah, this small firm in Talla. And it was great. I got to do loads of different things. And as I said, the firm allowed me kind of excel in different areas that I liked, like employment law and family law. But I was very much drawn to those human rights-based subjects. And I never really felt, I kind of felt at that point that I wasn't doing enough, that really there was people that I knew couldn't access justice. So at that point, an opportunity came up for me to cover a maternity contract with an organisation called the National Advocacy Service for People with Disabilities. So off I leapt into that and fell in love with advocacy. So you can start to see the social work and the law starting to come together. And then from there, I started working with Focus Ireland and worked with them for a couple of years. Loved that. And then an opportunity came up in Cheshire, Ireland.
And just to be clear, with Focus Ireland, were you practicing law within Focus Ireland? Was it a legal role that you had, or was it a social and advocacy role?
It was advocacy, so part of the advocacy team. And interestingly enough, it was a policy analyst. So very much back to my degree. But a lot of law came into that. And actually, after I left, the recruitment for my replacement, included a they wanted somebody with experience in law because it naturally fit very well with what I was doing in advocacy. So that was great. And then, as I said, yeah, opportunity came up within Cheshire Ireland, which is a charity that supports and provides services to disabled people to assist them live their best possible life. And there I landed 8 years ago and I haven't left since.
And it's effectively the synthesis of the two interests. It's the social policy and advocacy combined with law because you're head of law and compliance. Do you think that you were at an advantage or at a disadvantage to have done something other than pure law in terms of the promotional track that you went on, in terms of the career track?
Absolute advantage. I would not be the solicitor I am today without it. And, you know, even looking the skills, it's funny because I was trying to think about this, you know, but all of the best lawyers or barristers that I came across weren't the people that would have got the best points in their Leaving Cert or the highest points in their Leaving Cert or their top offer CAO. It's people that had skills in compassion and empathy and communication and all these skills that aren't necessarily academic or aren't necessarily associated, because sometimes law, certainly I associated law when I started out, I associated with people being maybe the most intelligent or the most extroverted, and I'm neither of those things. But as I said, I'm very happy and I found a career path and a career that I really get a lot of personal fulfilment out of.
We're joined as well by Richard Hammond, who is chairperson of the Law Society's Education Committee. And Richard, if I can pick up on a thing that Martina said, where she described herself as not being from a law family, is there an assumption about certain careers that one would put on the CAO form, law being one, possibly medicine being another, where it's all about absolutely tip-top points, straight into undergraduate, you need to come from the right set of private schools with the right connections to get you either a devil or to get you an apprenticeship. And if you don't have all of those factors in your favour, you're never going to be a consultant cardiologist or a lawyer.
Well, I can't speak to the consultant cardiologist, Anton, but I think there's definitely a bit of a stereotype in that respect. But somewhat like Martina, I didn't come from a legal family, and like Martina, I was the first in my family to go to third level education back in the 90s. And what I would have to say in respect of law is that while certainly there are plenty of people going through law who have a familial background in it, because it, you know, it's natural enough that sometimes children will want to follow in their parents' footsteps. Certainly my experience is that the profession is increasingly diverse and that you are meeting trainees in particular from all types of backgrounds and very varied backgrounds.
And whatever about the demographics of the background, what about the points? Are you seeing a lot of people entering the profession who didn't get the points that they're required to do at an undergraduate level?
Well, one of the fantastic things about having the FE1s as a common entry exam is that you can have a degree in music, you can have a degree in arts, you can have a degree in inland fisheries. But if you go away and pass your 8 FE1s, you can progress towards becoming a solicitor. And we certainly have seen that whilst law degrees remain popular, of course, something like 1 in 6 trainees coming through the professional practice courses come from an educational background other than a law degree.
Well, you're on the Education Committee of the Law Society. Do you see that, the same kind of thing I was asking Martina on a personal basis, on a committee basis, do you see it as an advantage to have another string to your bow before you become a solicitor?
Well, as a solicitor practicing in the profession, I would certainly find that the people who have a more rounded background, people who have more varied life experiences, are certainly able to bring more to the table when it comes to looking after our clients. There's definitely an advantage to not having a very narrow focus in your background. So that feature of that Martina spoke of in terms of her background in social science and the other work she'd done, I've seen people become solicitors who, for example, had degrees in nursing or who had been Gardaí before they went on to qualify, people who had degrees in science, people have gone away and done other things, had other experiences, come to law later in life, where they've had real lived experiences, and it certainly enriches their practice. There's no question doubt about that.
Undoubtedly, given your role, you have had parents come to you and say, my son or my daughter wanted to become a solicitor. They haven't got the points. They're deeply disappointed. What advice do you give to them? And as a function of that, what advice do you give to any student who may be listening, worrying that they mightn't quite make the points for the course they want?
Well, in terms of a career as a solicitor, there's obviously the majority of people that come to that profession do so through a degree in law. But as I've noted, at least one in six don't come through a degree in law. If you have the interest, if you have the talent, if it is for you, and as you see there with Martina, where she was able to learn later in life that it really was what was for her, then just simply having your degree, coming through your FE1s, passing the FE1s, there is no need to be panicked or stressed or grief-stricken about not getting the points for a third level degree in law, whilst I'm sure it'll be a very good and interesting degree. There's lots of interesting degrees out there, and if law is the career for you, once you apply yourself to your FE1s, pass your 8 FE1s, then that career is open to you. So there's no need to be in any way despondent if the points aren't there for a law degree.
Richard, thank you very much. That's Richard Hammond, who is chairperson of the Law Society's Education Committee. And same question to you in conclusion, Martina, because obviously law is one career wherein you may or may not get the points and then discover there is you can circumnavigate your way back into it. The same is true for accountancy. The same is true for medicine, for a number of other careers. If you're giving advice to people who are worried that they mightn't have crossed the threshold to get straight in the door, what is it?
I suppose, look, if there is disappointment, absolutely feel that, but also perhaps flip it and look at it as an opportunity. Because, as I said, from my experience, the opportunity I got has made me a much stronger solicitor than I would have been had I gone a direct path. So I think if that message is there, and just to really encourage people to persevere, and people with diverse backgrounds who maybe wouldn't have traditionally considered something like this, to consider it, because their experience makes the profession better.
One question though about the capacity to fund that, because I suspect there may be people who think, whether it is themselves saying, well, I've got part-time jobs, I can just about manage this for the 3 or 4 years of an undergraduate, or my mother and father are going to fund me, but I can't go back to that well and ask for another degree. Is it very tricky to add that extra time and cost on?
Well, as part of the traineeship in general, you're paid, so that's great. And Richard may speak about the new fused course, professional practice course that's been launched in the Law Society, that actually you're in the office for longer now. Previously, there was two parts where you're out of the office, so solicitors, your employing solicitors might have found it hard to pay you during that time. But as I said, so it's really just trying to, I think, make the profession work as well as it possibly can, and make it as similar to other types of apprenticeships or traineeships that might be out there, that it's possible for everybody to access it.
Is there something intrinsically unfair about the system, though? Because by your own description, you have come out being a very good lawyer, and you've come out being a good lawyer in part because of the duality of the background that you had and all that you learned. Yet at the time when you were looking to do it as a CAO, by your description, you wouldn't have gotten the points to do it at first threshold. That seems to be a way to weed out people who would be of great advantage to the careers that they end up with.
You know, I think, and I was listening to you on the way up, you know, and just talking about the stereotypes that are around in society. We're talking about mannying, which I thought was brilliant. But, you know, I think there are stereotypes in Ireland still. And I think some of them stereotypes are still there. So it might potentially put people off. But equally, I think law can attract people. So similar to, you know, what was being said earlier, when I was in the Law Society, there was people from all different backgrounds, all different ages, parents, you know, all different types of people. And so it doesn't put everybody off, but it might put initial people off, and maybe they'll follow different paths that might be the right paths for them too. So I think, as I said, just for anybody who's stressing or worried or whatever it is about, I think Thursday is the day, isn't it, for offers? Just to say, relax, it'll all be fine, and just be a bit courageous and follow your heart.
Well, on that sanguine note, Martina, thank you very much. That is Martina Larkin, who's Head of Legal and Compliance at Cheshire Ireland, which is a national charity supporting people living with disabilities. And before Martina was Richard Hammond, Chairperson of the Law Society's Education.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Education Committee.